the Bruins defeated the defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche, extending their home winning streak to 14 games to start the year. They beat the Avalanche 5-1. And there's a lot of great to take from this game, Scott, but 20-3 overall. I mean, this is insane. In a league where parity is king, I mean, you can be a top team in the league, but to only have three losses, you know, what are we, 7 weeks into the season? I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, it really is. And we're now more, we all had this 3 week stretch highlighted late November, early into like second week of December. We're now more than halfway through that 9-game stretch. They've played five and they're 4-1 in these five. And, you know, you beat the defending Stanley Cup champion Avalanche. Two wins over the Lightning, who have won the conference the last 3 years. You beat the Carolina Hurricanes, who knocked you out of the playoffs last year and swept you in the regular season. Like, it hasn't slowed them down at all. They just keep going. And look, we mentioned this a little bit on the last podcast, but Colorado is banged up, like, especially up front. No Gabriel Landeskog, no Valerie Nichushkin, no Evan Rodriguez. Tonight they lose Arturi Lehkonen in the first period. So, like, yes, there's a caveat there. You didn't get the Avs at full strength. But if the Bruins play like this, I'm not sure it even matters. I mean, the Lightning have been pretty much at full strength and they've beaten them. Like, the Bruins are just playing at such a level that it's like, when they play like this, no one's going to be able to match them. Or at the very least, no one's going to be able to, certainly not going to be able to like dominate them. Like, that's never going to happen. The only way that they're ever going to lose a game comfortably is if they have an off night, which will happen at some point. And, you know, they'll probably hit some injuries that'll slow them down. But, like, you know, Martian was saying that tonight after the game. He was like, we're going to hit some adversity at some point, and that's usually good. Like, teams have to go through that. And he said, you know, we really haven't hit any yet. And I was kind of thinking, I was like, well, that's not even really entirely true. Like, they did have a lot of injuries to start the year, including Marchand himself being out, McAvoy being out. Like, run through all the other guys who were getting injured for a couple games here and there, you know, whether it was Hall at one point, Krejci, obviously Forbert's missed time recently, Grizzlick was out to start the season, Carlo missed a couple games. Like, they actually have had a bunch of injuries, so there has actually been some adversity there, and it didn't matter. And now they're completely healthy, or, you know, very close to it, I guess. You know, Craig Smith might still be a little banged up, but man, it's like when everyone's there and they're playing like this, it's like, how, like, who really stands all that much of a chance? And yeah, there's going to be losses, like, we know that, but when they're on top of their game, there's just, other teams are really going to struggle to beat them. And like, I don't think even a full strength Avalanche team would have beaten them tonight. You know, I mean, the Bruins rolled them 5-1. Like, Avs got it to 3-1, and you're like, oh, maybe they could make it a little bit interesting. And then the Bruins just turn it on, score twice in 10 seconds, game over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you mentioned the forwards up front for the Avalanche that were not in the lineup. And on the back end, considering you have less defensemen than forwards over the course of a game, the fact that they're missing Bo Byram and Josh Manson, yeah, it's less bodies than they're missing up front, but you also have less defensemen, right? It's 6-6 versus 12. So it honestly kind of evens out when you're talking about the impact of injuries on both sides of the puck for Colorado. I mean, Manson's a big body, and Bo Byram is a fluid skater, good puck mover that they were missing. But as you alluded to, the Bruins won this game 5-1, and it wasn't all that close. I mean, Colorado had one push in the, you know, the third period when they got a fortunate goal to make it 3-1. But besides that, like, the Bruins just smothered them, and they're making the defending Stanley Cup champions, they look like just another team out there. They look no different than the other teams the Bruins have walked through this season. And you can talk about the injuries that Colorado had going into the game. Okay. They still had Nathan MacKinnon. They still had Cale Makar. They still had Mikko Rantanen. And those guys, as good as they are, they didn't impact the game tonight. And that's because the Bruins, well, first of all, structurally, they're very sound. Their work ethic is second to none. That's the biggest thing with this Bruins team is that, yes, they're deep. Yes, they have talent. But you watch how they hunt pucks. You watch how their second and third effort on pucks are, they're outworking their opponents. And that is the main reason why they are winning these games, because there are a lot of talented rosters in NHL past that haven't got off to the start. Right. And as far as like the Bruins facing adversity, and you mentioned this as well, but they've had their injuries this year. They're 23 games into the year and they haven't hit the injury bug yet. They've hit it. It's just been kind of staggered, but you don't notice it as much with them. And this is kind of a testament to Colorado, right? Or not to Colorado, but to the Bruins compared to the other best teams. Colorado hits the injury bug. They play an elite team like Boston and they look average. Now, Colorado, I think they've won 7 of their last 10. So like they came into this game pretty strong.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was looking up, like, they've won 9 of their last 12. And during that stretch, they have 2 wins over Carolina. Again, a team I think we all believe is really good. And 2 wins over Dallas, who's been off to a great start. So it's like the Avs, even as banged up as they are, have still been able to beat other good teams, but not the Bruins. Like, they weren't even able to keep it close.
Exactly. It wasn't even a back and forth game. It was all Boston. And to my point about that, like when Colorado has injuries and they come across a strong team like Boston, it shows, right? But when the Bruins have their guys injured and their depth tested, they've risen to the occasion because they have that depth and they have that next man up mentality. Not that the defending champions don't have that mentality. Like Colorado's been there. They've done that. They know what it takes. They get it. Okay. This is not against Colorado. But what I would say to people that are, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, Colorado, they had a bunch of guys out. Well, okay. Well, it's not like the Bruins were on their heels and scraped by with a shootout victory. Like, okay, they had guys out and the Bruins made it look like they had guys out. So they did exactly what a good team would do in this situation, which was it wasn't all that close. I'm not saying it wasn't competitive between the whistles. I'm just saying like the Bruins just were never on their heels besides a couple of minutes in the third period. And they're already up 3 goals at that point, or I guess 2. So yeah, I mean the Bruins, look, they're a very, very, very deep team. That is for sure. This offensive system with Jim Montgomery, you know, it's really showing in some players that were offensively anemic last year. You know, Nick Foligno, we've talked about ad nauseum. Another really, really staple moment for him tonight. He gets hit from behind. It wasn't the worst hit in the world, but you know, it could have been a minor penalty. But he gets up and he exchanges, you know, right hands with, I forget his first name, but Englund for Colorado, big defenseman on the back end. And it was a really strong fight. Like that was a heavyweight type fight. And just, you know, but you know, he's had a resurgence, obviously. Nick Foligno, I mean, and we're going to get into Trent Frederick. He's another guy who's just like really, really playing well. So yes, the Bruins, look, are the Bruins going to play, you know, are they going to play the Islanders or the Sabres, you know, on a weeknight in December or January and lose and throw up a dud? Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. But like, you know, overall, this team is just really, really, really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just looking over the numbers, it's like all the Bruins top 3 lines, like all won their battles for the night. And, you know, Montgomery like said this after the game and it was almost like he didn't want to brag too much, but you know, cause like in his opening comments, he talked about how like, yeah, like it was a really good win for us. Like we know the Avalanche are a little banged up, you know, we might be facing a stronger team when we go out there if they get guys back, like, you know, like did that. And then someone asked like straight up, like, what did you think when it was best on best, your top line versus their top line? And he's like, I thought we controlled play. And they did. Like you got the Bergeron line against the MacKinnon line with Lindholm and McAvoy on the Bruins defense and Taves McCarr on the Avs defense. You got that matchup a lot. and the Bruins won it. Like McKinnon, Makar, Taves, those guys were all sub 50% in terms of Corsi. They're all sub 50% in terms of expected goals. Makar was on the ice for just talking 5-on-5, one goal against, none for. McKinnon, two against, none for. Devin Taves, 3 against, 0 for. Like, so it's not just that, like, oh, the Bruins beat up on the Avalanche's depth guys who, you know, some of them might not be in the lineup in a couple weeks. No, like, they beat the top guys, too. They won those battles as well. And then add in what their second and third lines do. Pastrnak scores twice, one on the power play, but another, you know, a breakaway sprung by Krejci. And then the third line scores twice with Trent Frederick's scoring both. And one was a shift where Taylor Hall actually wasn't even out there. It was things had kind of gotten jumbled because of special teams. And Zacha was out there with them. And it's the give and go between McAvoy and Zacha. Coyle, good puck protection, that shift. And ends with Frederick burying a rebound. And then the second one, again, McAvoy makes quick play up to Coyle. Coyle to Hall over to Frederick on the rush and buries it. And that line was, I think, really good all night. I tweeted in like the third period that I thought it was a great game for Frederick, even besides the goal. And then he gets a second goal on top of it to just kind of, you know, cherry on top of a really good game for him. But yeah, it's like, so the Bruins top guys can win battles against the other team's top guys. And then you add that depth and it's like, forget it. Like, at least what the Avalanche have right now for like their second and third, fourth lines isn't going to stack up. And look, the Avs are going to get basically like a full second line back when they get some of their injured guys back. But it's, you know, but you're talking about one of the Avs are one of the deeper teams in the NHL. They just won the cup. And you look at it and you're like, man, like, I don't even know if their depth stacks up. There's not many teams that can.